athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
You're locked in to the dopest show on radio, From the Press Box to Press Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. Got a packed show for you today. In fact, a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be joined by the new head women's basketball coach at Duke, Kara Lawson. Kara Lawson going to join us on the program. What a career Kara Lawson has had. You think back, he won a WNBA championship with the Monarchs. The Monarchs, the Sacramento Monarchs, was also an all-star with the Monarchs. Went into broadcasting, broadcasted some NBA games, was an analyst. I mean, really doing a lot of big things. And this opportunity at Duke, she had never, or has never, up until this point now, been in collegiate athletic coaching. Last, and you speak about opportunities, she was an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics and now has the Duke head women's basketball position, which is pretty big. Duke's women's basketball team has had some success. So Kara Lawson now has a name. Her name carries weight. You remember a couple of months ago, whatever it was, Neil Ivey joined us. But Neil Ivey had some coaching experience as an assistant coach for many years at her alma mater, Notre Dame. But when you talk about where these young ladies had been, Neil Ivey, and right before taking the position, Ivey was an assistant coach with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think this is a great move for Duke, great move for collegiate women's basketball. And again, we're going to talk with Kara Lawson here on the program. Also today here on From the Press Box to Press Row, you're going to hear from the head football coach at Grambling, Broderick Fobbs. We had to suspend the HBCU Football Daily podcast because the SIAC suspended its fall activities. We suspended it last week, but we're going to resume things on Tuesday as Grambling is up, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday. But what I want to do, I want to replay part of the interview that I had with Broderick Fobbs. We talked about a myriad of things, including, we've seen this when you look at a Mercure Maker or you look at some of these guys that have had interest, some of these high school athletes that have had interest in HBCUs. We haven't seen football players as much as basketball players. And obviously, there's a different dynamic there when you're talking about football. And it's a lot I want to get into, but let me just sum it up. When you're talking about football, especially when you're talking about SWAC, MEAC, Tennessee State, Hampton, you're talking about those schools on the FCS level trying to recruit against schools on the FBS level. It's a little bit difficult, but even more difficult when you're trying to recruit those guys against Power 5 conferences. It's different when you're recruiting against other FCS conferences. But had a chance to catch up with Broderick Fobbs. I asked him that question about recruiting five-star guys and will more four- and five-star guys start to come to HBCUs. We rank the recruiting classes, have done that for about 12 or 13 years. Grambling was number 7 this past year in 2020, had a really good recruiting class. But I want to get his thoughts on that. because again, basketball's different. It's all Division I again when you're talking about the MEAC, SWAC, Tennessee State, Hampton. It's different. It's all D1. And again, you're able to play a lot of the SWAC, MEAC schools, Tennessee State, Hampton. They're going to play bigger schools for a payday. So if you're that player that's going to that HBCU as a high guy, and again, I got to emphasize, McCure Maker has committed to Howard. Once he signs, then that's the next step. And then for me, the next step would be him playing. I wrote about this on our website at box2row.com. You can check that out. But if guys are going to sign and play, it's different with basketball because it's all Division I. And I'm going to have some thoughts. Again, I'm going to replay part of the interview with Broderick Fobbs, the head football coach at Grambling. But I also have some thoughts on guys that are saying they want to play at HBCUs, committing to HBCUs, and then what does that really mean? Where is that? I would like nothing more than top guys to play at HBCUs. You, especially if you're going to be a one and done guy, maybe a 2 year guy. The way the rule stands, it's one and done. Perhaps, you know, you're a 2 year guy. That university is going to be able to make some money. It's going to be a lot more interest. There's going to be money to be made. And to me, all of those things makes not only the university, the respective university, puts that respective university in a better financial position. It puts that respective university, gives that a lot of ears and eyes are on that university, because that university is going to be talked about a lot. More televised games, more nationally televised games. But also what it could lead to, and I've been talking about this, and I realize there's a lot that has to go into a super conference. Talked about that last month, perhaps a super conference with some of the best or the bigger HBCUs starting this thing out, and then maybe going to the FBS level when it comes to football. There's a lot that goes into that. I get that. But you can talk about it now to try to get to that point. But again, if those guys attend those schools, then you would have a lot of the elements needed from a revenue generation standpoint. A lot goes into it. But again, I want to talk a little bit more about that also today here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Your participation here on From the Press Box to Press Row, I want you to participate. So the way that you can do that is hit me up via Twitter at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, or on Facebook, BOX2ROW. Tell you what, we've got some outstanding affiliates around the country that carry From the Press Box to Press Row. How about WASU in Albany, Georgia? How about KTTP in Alexandria, Virginia? What about WELE out of that Ormond Beach, Daytona Beach area that carries the program? Thank you to those listening to us on Sirius XM, channel 142, and those that listen to us on our website at box2row.com. A couple of things I've been thinking about with respect to these players committing to these HBCUs. It's an interesting dynamic, the shift we're in. It's the social justice movement, and it's time that at least the awareness, and I'm good with the awareness, like I really want the guys to commit, but does it make sense for guys to commit to an HBCU, particularly at the Division I level, when they definitely, or I shouldn't say commit, you can commit anywhere, sign to an HBCU at the Division I level, opposed to and being that type of player that can play in the ACC or can play in the Big Ten, can play in one of these, it's Power Five in football, but one of those type of conferences. Does it make sense? Let me say this. Again, I'm all for it as an HBCU guy myself and what we've done here with Box to Row for 15 years. placing a great emphasis on HBCU sports. I would like to see nothing more than that. But does it make sense for a guy the likes of a McCure Maker or Mickey Williams or whomever to do that when you have an opportunity to go to a Power Five school? I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of variables here. You have to look at because again, I'm all about if you build it, they will come. But the other thing is, at a lot of our schools, it has to be built first. And when you look at a lot of the resources that a lot of the bigger schools have, I mean, you have to, as an HBCU, you have to be able to compete against that. Can you compete against the facilities that here just in Carolina, can you compete against the facilities that a Carolina has? Their basketball facility seats 20,000 people. What's the biggest facility amongst HBCU Division I schools? You know, maybe what is the Acadome at Alabama State? What is that, 8,000 people? Do we have, you know, a 10,000 seat facility? Even are you going to get that kind of support? And so I ask those questions. And what I had to really think about, because sometimes I think you have to step back and look at what's real and look at the reality. And I want to make clear that I'm all about top players going to HBCUs. It was at a time, and for so many reasons, there was a time when we could not go to said Carolina or aforementioned Carolina, or you couldn't go to Kentucky, or you couldn't go to Alabama, and you couldn't go to all of these other schools, so you had to go to the HBCU. That's one of the reasons I'm all for it. I'm about black businesses, you know, especially from a private school perspective. Private schools are more or less are black businesses, quote unquote. And you can look at the state, you know, you can look at the state schools, and obviously they're run by the state, whatever the state is. But historically, they are black institutions. Nonetheless, I mean, that we can nitpick about that, but I'm all about black business. And for these kids to go to those schools, I'm all about that. But Sean Walker, who's the head men's basketball coach at Elizabeth City State, he does on Facebook Live every week. He has he doesn't call it a show. He calls it a conversation. He has conversations with coaches from all around the country, from all walks of life. Like he had the head coach of Brunswick Community College. His name is escaping me, but he's been the head coach there for well in excess of 20 years, has had a lot of success there at the national level in terms of junior colleges. By the way, junior colleges have suspended play for fall, which is huge, especially when you're talking about that talent pool that's going to go from a JUCO to a four-year institution. But he had, he's had coaches like that on. I got a lot of information about that, about junior colleges and how it all works and building a program for a junior college to get that kid to the next level. But he had Bryant Stith on his program. Bryant Stith, the same Bryant Stith of UVA fame, one of the, you know, great players. You're talking about the late 80s, or really more so the early 90s. Just a phenomenal player at UVA, had a nice 10-year career in the NBA. He's now he came back to his hometown in the Lawrenceville, Virginia area. Became the head basketball, I think it's Brunswick County, became the head basketball coach at Brunswick, won a couple of state titles, went on to now be the assistant coach at ODU under his former collegiate coach. And everybody around him was HBCU. His parents were HBCU grads. His, you know, a lot of his relatives, HBCU grads. But this guy, and he really talked about, you know, how he had to build himself up to be noticed because he was coming from more of a rural area in Virginia. Would it have made sense for a guy like that, even though he has all this HBCU background, to have gone to an HBCU? Now, and he said Hampton was one of his finalists. Now, remember, at that time, Hampton was in the CIAA, was a Division II school, but he had narrowed down to Duke, UVA, in Hampton. Would it have made sense for Brian Stith to go not even to Hampton, but to go to an HBCU? He had a phenomenal career at UVA and ultimately had a solid 10-year career in the NBA. You know, a guy like a Chris Paul had a chance at the All-Star game back in 2012, had a chance to ask him specifically about, you remember it was a lockout. I think it was either that year, maybe the year before, whenever it was, but he and some other players were sort of barnstorming, if you will. He, LeBron James, they all came and played a game at Winston-Salem State. He said it meant the world to him. He's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, knows all about Winston-Salem State. It's a big support. He's got a documentary, I think, that's going to be eventually coming out, talking about HBCUs. He talks a lot about HBCUs. Would it have made sense for a Chris Paul to go to an HBCU opposed to going to Wake Forest? And so I think we have to sort of look at things from that perspective as well. I want to see it. I want to see a lot of those kids go to our schools. But again, it doesn't really make sense to go to our schools. And you're going to hear Grambling head football coach Broderick Fobbs talk about business decisions a little bit later on in the program. Your thoughts via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. Up next, here on From the Press Box to Press Row, the new head women's basketball coach at Duke, Kara Lawson.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
To protect people from getting coronavirus in college athletics, like, how do you do that? You can't bring everyone to a bubble like you do with pro sports. We got to be a little bit more serious and a little bit more realistic about what we're dealing with. In the beginning, we didn't wear masks. Now we should wear masks. It's either people sometimes are asymptomatic and then ultimately dying. So there are those variances. And for me, I'm not sure if I want to take that chance just to play a sport.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
We track down the names making news in sports from the Press Box to Press Row. It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Let's continue here on From the Press Box to Press Row. We're joined by a young woman. As a matter of fact, I mean, her list of accomplishments is so vast. An All-American at Tennessee, WNBA All-Star and champion, USA gold medalist, assistant coach with the Celtics, also a WNBA and NBA analyst. She's the new head women's basketball coach at Duke. She's Kara Lawson. She joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Kara, congratulations and welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm on my way to Durham and going to have boots on the ground probably by about 5 p.m. today, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to get to Durham and work with these student-athletes.
Absolutely, and we'll welcome you to the Triangle. Of course, especially where we are with COVID-19 and so forth, what are some of the, you know, some of the first things that you plan to do basketball-wise as the new head women's basketball coach once you get to do?
The main thing that I'm wanting to do initially is to be able to build relationships with the players. I think that's really important. We obviously have a returning group on the roster, and I'm new to them. So building relationships with them as they come back for their fall semester, building relationships with the administration, with the faculty. There's so many constituencies that you serve as a head coach at a major college program: boosters, fans, alums. And so just making sure that I'm as available as I can be to all of those people. And then knowing that the main thing for our program is to make sure that we're in the gym and we're improving and that we're recruiting at a high level. So it's probably like 12 or 13 different things that I gave you, but what we're trying to focus on and wrap our arms around. And almost done hiring my staff, which will be a group that's vital to our success as a program. I'm really excited about them. We're getting close to where we can announce who those people are going to be, but I can't wait.
No question about that. I mean, this is going to be your first collegiate coaching experience. Obviously, you were a great player at Tennessee. We'll talk more about that and some experience as an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. How much of your experience with the Celtics do you take into this job at Duke?
I think I'll take a lot because of how great a mentor Brad Stevens has been for me. Here's somebody that's had a great deal of success at the collegiate level, somebody that's had a great deal of success in the NBA, and somebody that just does things the right way. I mean, he's a great person. He's a great boss to work for, and I just really enjoyed getting a chance to be a part of his staff, and I learned so much from him. So I'll take a lot, being able to observe how he handles himself in different situations, whether it's halftime and we're down by a lot or halftime we're up by a lot, three-game losing streak, three-game winning streak, how you prepare for practice, maybe when you have a bunch of guys that are out in terms of injuries, how you do it with a full squad. There's so many things, there's so many decisions that go into a head coach's day. And so to be able to sit every day and watch him make those and see the thought behind that, I think that's going to be really valuable to me as I start to be the one now, or as I am the one now that is having to make those decisions on a daily basis.
Yeah. Let me take you back to 2007. New Orleans took on the Washington Wizards. You were the analyst for that game, perhaps becoming the first woman to actually be a broadcast analyst on a nationally broadcast game. You're a history maker in that respect. Also had a chance to talk and have Jessica Mendoza on this program, certainly in the past as well with baseball. What does that mean? What did that mean to you to be able to, in fact, do that back in 2007?
Well, I didn't really realize it then, to be honest with you. I didn't realize it at the time. And I will tell you that those barriers that are broken, I've certainly been aware of some of them over the years, but I will tell you in this time in our country, to read that I'm the first black basketball coach at Duke University, it means something a little different, now. And I don't know if that's just because of where we are right now in terms of social unrest and in terms of, the quest for equality. But it did mean a little extra to me to read that. I was not aware of that. And that's something that I'm very proud of. And that's something that I hope the black community is very proud of. And certainly Durham, state of North Carolina, and where I'm from in Washington, D.C. I hope the community is very proud of that.
Absolutely. No, we got to talk about this. Like, I'm from Silver Spring, grew up, and I'm still going to call them the Redskins until, in fact, the name is changed. That's what I know. Bullets, Wizards, right? Orioles,
yeah.
All of that. What did it mean to you? Because, for so many years, I had a chance to watch, Buckhands and Chenier, and then you come on board as the analyst. What did that mean to be the analyst of the Wizards in your hometown?
Oh, man, that was a dream come true. You know what's crazy about the last 3 years of my life? It's three different dream come trues in 3 years. I mean, I can't even explain this. To be the television analyst for your team that you grew up cheering for, as you said, the Bullets, it was the Bullets when we were growing up. And now it's the Wizards. And all of a sudden now you're the voice that people are listening to while they're watching your favorite team play. It was surreal. It was incredible. I have so much respect for Phil Chenier, obviously, as a player, as a staple in the Washington community, and as a broadcaster. And so those were big shoes to fill, no doubt.
Phil is somebody that I respect a lot and has meant a lot to that organization. So, I was so happy, so content, so excited about that opportunity, and I loved every minute I was with the Wizards.
Kara Lawson is the new head women's basketball coach at Duke. She joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Speak to the experience. I mean, well, you spoke to the experience with the Celtics. I had a chance to ask Neil Ivey this, who, of course, the new head women's basketball coach at Notre Dame. Well, because you've had that experience, quite a few women have had the experience of being an assistant coach in the NBA. Will we one day see a women's coach of an NBA team?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think that's the kind of thing that's hard to predict because, there's only 30 jobs, and there are so many people, so many men that work their whole lives in the league and never get that opportunity. So it's something that is very difficult to achieve. There's a lot of great assistant coaches and former head coaches that are candidates, that are options to lead an NBA franchise. I certainly hope so. But I think there's still more room to grow the ranks of female coaches. I don't think there's still more room. There is more room to grow the female ranks of coaches. And hopefully, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, there'll be a thriving group of female coaches in the NBA that will be able to have multiple candidates at coaching jobs in the near future. So that's my hope, is just to continue to replenish the pool.
Kara Lawson is the new head women's basketball coach at Duke. Joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Hold the line for me 1 second, Kara. We've got more with Kara Lawson on the other side as you're locked into From the Press Box to Press Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it like that. You know, it's really focused. Just really, you know, excited.
He's Chadwick Boseman, and he joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. You are, in fact, a graduate. What do you remember most about your days at Howard?
Howard is like one of those experiences where you know it's a bubble. You know it's a special moment. Like, I had some great teachers. Felicia Rashad was one of my teachers. You know, I just remember being nurtured to respect Black writers, Black directors, Black actors, as well as the classics. So you got the full scope of what you should experience, and I think that's unique to Howard. I just love the fact that they respected the full scope of it.
Kiki Palmer joining us here on the program.
I've grown in a lot of different ways. I think I've definitely grown as far as my age progression, and that shows that I've literally grown, I guess, on screen, and people have seen me from, you know, a young kid to coming of age into an adult, and I feel like slowly but surely they're not taking that Akilah memory out their head, but realizing Akilah also has grown up. I don't ever want to be typecasted as just the weed hosting girl.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. It's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
That the voice, of course, of T.I., it's some hard times down in the ATL, though, T.I.
Yeah, and that is understood. It wouldn't be the first. Wouldn't be the first nor the worst. But, you know, you got to stay down with the home team, you know.
Nah, no question. I'm still down with the Skins, man. What can I say? They're not doing too well right now.
Well, like,
you know what I mean?
We got to, hey, look, man, we got to hold it down so we can get it back right again.
That is the voice of Maria Taylor, ESPN college sports analyst.
College Game Day is a show that I grew up watching, a show that I've always loved. I knew that when I was able to join, I was more than excited. I found out the same week as I turned 30. And it's just something that I never dreamed I would be a part of, but something that I'm so thankful to have under my belt, have done for an entire season. There's nothing like it, honestly.
Hello, I'm Josh Stone, and I'm here chatting to Donald on From the Press Box to Press Row.
Kimber Walker.
A lot more poised now. know, the game has slowed down, so, you know, I kind of know what to expect. You know, I've been watching a lot of film on our offense and, you know, what plays I can make. You know, I'm just trying to make the best plays possible. When I draw a second defender to me, I know my job is done. I'm just trying my best to find an open guy. You know, the difference is guys are making shots. That's been the biggest difference.
I'm talking about none other than Common.
Well, I ended up in Sam just because I wanted to major in business, and Sam, you had the illustrious school of business. And, I mean, I played high school basketball, but at one point, my career kind of rounded off because I got injured and I wasn't getting as much playing time, so I became impatient. I went to school first, starting off with general studies. Then I found out that business was the key. That's what I wanted to do. I got into the school of business, and it was definitely a great learning experience for me.
She's regarded as the best gymnast in the world. She's Simone Biles, the ESPN swimsuit edition.
Actually, really fun, like, to be honest. Me and Allie had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, I've run the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women might feel that being strong is still beautiful. So that's what we kind of try to do. Mine was just like beauty, but also showing muscles. Like, I feel like when little girls look at that, they'll think it's okay to have muscles and be beautiful and like sexy at the same time in a good manner. And I think that's what we got across, hopefully. It was great.
Greatest football player to ever play, Jim Brown.
Muhammad Ali was a principal person in the country at the time, and he stood up and said that he was not going to the service because it was against his religion. Mm-hmm. Called all the top black athletes together, along with Carl Stoke, the first black mayor of a major city. So I'm glad you brought that particular incident up.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. Snoop, you Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have gone to Division One.
WWE champion Alexa Bliss, how does one go from being a cheerleader as you were at the Division One level at Akron to being the WWE champion?
Well, after I cheered in Akron, my trainer had told me that WWE was having a tryout, so, and they knew I was a fan. So I went online and I submitted a video to WWE.com. I didn't think anything would come of it, but then I was called and given a tryout. And then after I tried out, I was signed to NXT, and it just kind of became a roller coaster from there.
We're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is Anthony Anderson, international movie star and funny mother. And you're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at www.boxtorow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row. Real, relevant radio.
Doesn't matter what your sport, he talks your language. It's Donald Ware. From the Press Box to Press Row, it's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the Press Box to Press Row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
We're back here on From the Press Box to Press Row, talking with Kara Lawson, the head women's basketball coach at Duke, who joins us here on the program. You mentioned it, it's a history-making moment at Duke. You, as the first black woman as a head coach of the Blue Devils, what made this job the right job? I mean, you had the analyst piece. You know, you have done so many things in your career, and an assistant again with the Celtics. What made Duke in the head job here or in Durham the right job for you at this time?
No matter what school that you're a fan of, I think there is a level of respect of Duke University in terms of the type of institution it is. It's a high-level, world-class academic institution. And that's something that my parents instilled in me at a very young age, that academics were important. It's very core to what I believe is a powerful thing for a young woman to have is an education from an elite institution. And so it starts with that. And then you look at Duke basketball, it's a global brand. It's not a national brand, it's a global brand. People all over the world know what Duke basketball is. They all over the world, they know what it stands for. It stands for excellence. It stands for competing for championships. And to align yourself with the very best in academics, the very best in basketball, I mean, that was a no-brainer.
Yeah. Let me take you back a little bit. What did it mean to you to win that WNBA championship with the Monarchs?
That was a tremendous moment for myself and my teammates, for the city of Sacramento, the first championship in Sacramento sports history. What a great time that was to be a part of. When I look at my teammates, when I look at the coaches, it meant that we were the best team in the world for 1 year, and that was certainly special. It's something I look back on very fondly. In fact, quite a few of my teammates from that team have texted me since taking this job at Duke University. And that's the beautiful thing about our sport, is the connection that we all have. Being a part of the basketball family, we have that connection, and it's a great thing to see.
You know, I remember when you were coming out of West Springfield, All-America, great player, obviously ended up playing at the University of Tennessee under Pat Summitt. Speak about Pat Summitt and, you know, what she meant to you and what it meant to you to play for her.
Well, I chose to go to the University of Tennessee to play for Pat Summitt because I wanted to be a coach. And I felt the best way to learn how to be a coach would be to play for the best coach. And that's the opportunity I got for 4 years. And it was an amazing opportunity. It was awesome. It was everything you could have hoped for as a point guard, to play for her and get a chance to observe and learn every day from one of the all-time greats. She's taught me so much. There's a lot that I'll bring with me from my time with her to being a head coach myself, and being in the same position that she was in, and being tasked with the job of molding young women and preparing them for success in life. And that's a great responsibility. It's one that I'm excited to take on, but one I take with a great deal of seriousness and a great deal of pride.
Again, Kara Lawson, the new head women's basketball coach at Duke, joins us here on the program. You mentioned going to Tennessee to play for Pat Summitt because she was an excellent coach. You wanted to learn how to ultimately be a coach, which you ultimately are now. Did you feel like, I mean, is that something when your WNBA career was over that you wanted to get right into? Did you feel like going into the broadcasting field would maybe be sort of a buffer between playing and then being in coaching?
Well, really the reason why I didn't get into coaching earlier was because I was playing. And I think in order to be devoted to the sport at the highest level, which I was in the WNBA and with the national team, that has to be your number one thing, is training, preparing your body, and practicing your sport. And if you want to coach, that's great, but I felt like the way I like to do things, which is all in, that if I started coaching then, it would take away from both, right? I would be dividing my attention, and I wouldn't be able to maximize my potential in either career. So I decided to just focus on playing during that time. And broadcasting was a natural occupation to do concurrent with my career, because it didn't take as much time as coaching. I didn't have the responsibility off the floor when you're broadcasting. That I would have had if I was coaching. And so that provided me the necessary time, the necessary space within the day to be able to train at a really high level and get my workouts in.
couple of more thoughts with Kara Lawson, the new head women's basketball coach at Duke, who joins us here on the program. Follow her on Twitter at KaraLawson20. I gotta ask you, no, before I even ask you about that, winning that gold in Beijing in 2008, how special was that for you?
Oh, that was very special, because the first goal I ever set for myself when I was younger was to represent the U.S. in the Olympics. And to be able to achieve that and do that, I mean, how many things do you say when you're a kid that you're going to do? And, you know, something happens here, something happens there, you don't end up doing it. That was one that I was able to achieve, and it meant a lot to be a part of the United States Olympic team. Represent our great country, and then also win the gold on top of that. It was special.
You know, and like I mentioned before, when we first came on, you're a DMVer. Alexandria, correct?
That's right. Alexandria, Virginia.
That's right. See, the only Krispy Kreme in the area, as we like to call it, is in Alexandria, right off Route 1.
You got it. When the ovens are on, I can smell it from my driveway.
So with that, you know, again, as I mentioned, I mean, just growing up, being a Redskins fan, big time. I mean, I just feel a certain. I know, for me anyway, I know that the name has to be changed. I get that. I feel a certain kind of way about it. You know, like, wow, you know, you grew up like that. You grew up calling them that. I didn't think about it in a negative manner. But what are your thoughts? Do you have any feelings on the name change and what maybe the name should be?
Yeah, I don't have any ideas of what the name should be, but I'm glad that that they are finally going to make that change, and I'll still be a fan of the team regardless of you know what the new name is. But I'm glad that that's going to happen, that that's been put in motion.
What are some of your memories growing up in Alexandria in the DMV?
Oh man, I got so many great memories. Playing basketball outside with all my friends. My next door neighbor had a hoop in his driveway. My driveway was too steep, so we couldn't have a hoop. But my next door neighbor had a flat driveway, and we used to play out there all day. In the summers, days like today, we'd just play outside all day. Come in for lunch, come back, play outside all day till dinner, come back out. And then when the street lights came on, you had to be in the house or you were in trouble.
Yeah, that's old school, right? So now, were you into go-go?
A little bit. More in high school than like growing up. But yeah, definitely not. I won't say I'm like really, really into it. But yeah, when I was in high school, definitely got into go-go for a little bit.
Yeah. Again, follow her on Twitter at KaraLawson20. She's the new head women's basketball coach at Duke. Former All-American at Tennessee, former WNBA All-Star and champion, USA gold medalist, former assistant coach with the Boston Celtics, and, of course, WNBA and NBA analyst. Kara, we appreciate the time. Good luck to you and the Blue Devils, hopefully, for 2020-2021.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. I can't wait to be in Durham.
We appreciate it, Kara. Safe travels and looking forward to seeing you here in the Carolinas and right up the road in Durham at Duke. Up next here on From the Press Box to Press Row, a conversation with Grambling head football coach Broderick Fobbs.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the game of the week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
If you want to react to anything that Kara Lawson had to say in the last couple of segments, hit us up via Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2 ROW. Welcome your comments. Well, as I mentioned, I had a chance for the HBCU Football Daily Podcast, which we're going to resume on Tuesday with Grambling. And, of course, you can download or listen to the HBCU Football Daily Podcast at our website at BoxToRow.com. Also, at iHeartMedia.com, as well as on Apple Podcasts. Had a great conversation. I always have a really good conversation with Coach Foss, particularly out of season. And we talked about a number of different things. And you'll hear a little bit later on in the conversation, I had a chance to ask him about the possibility of big-time recruits, four-star, five-star kids, eventually coming to Grambling and HBCUs. But we had a great conversation with Grambling head football coach Broderick Fobbs. Your thoughts on 2019?
Well, you know, we for the last couple of years, you know, we've been growing and we've been developing. As everyone knows, you know, we started out extremely hot and we had a great run. But all of those guys that were those playmakers, those guys graduated in 2017. And anytime you experience extreme greatness, you just go back and look through history. You look at any sport, at any whether it's basketball, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, what have you. Anytime you have greatness on your team, when those guys leave and they graduate, it leaves huge holes. And when you leave those huge holes, it takes time in order to fill those holes for other people to understand their roles and to be able to step into place. You know, you look at Chicago Bulls, you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, the Orlando Magic, and, you know, all those teams, Miami Heat. You know, anytime great players are no longer in that organization or on that team or they graduate, that leaves huge shoes to fill, and it takes time to fill those. So we've been young in the last couple of years, you know, 18 and 19, we were growing. You know, last year we improved, even though our records, you know, pretty much stayed the same. We thought that we were improving, and I think our kids are prime and ready, you know, to give that shot, to give it a go. And you know, we just feel really good about our players. We feel really good about our offensive line, our defensive line, and really all points.
No, it's a great point. I think when you talk about the 17 season, you know, you lose a guy like Kincaid, and, you know, that group, 18, seemed like more of a rebuilding year. So, and you sort of alluded to this, you took a step forward in 2019 from 18. Where do you feel like the team is right now? Do you feel like you're ready to get back and be back at that championship year from 2017?
Yeah, we do. You know, we feel really good about our team. We feel really good about our depth. You know, and you never know what the future holds. You know, we're always comparing, you know, this football team to the teams that we've had. You know, because we're always trying to improve and grow, and we feel really good about this team this year. You know, as long as we stay healthy and continue to develop and continue to grow, and not only that, grow together as a team, as a unit, we feel that we have a chance to do great things.
Your thoughts, Jeremy Hickbottom returns for you for 2020. Put up some solid numbers last year. Grew from that 2018 season when he more or less shared his position a little bit, not more or less, but a little bit.
Right.
Your thoughts in terms of what he's been able to do off season and then moving into this upcoming season?
Well, you know, this is the third year that Jeremy, you know, has been in the offense, and he's a senior now. He understands. He's comfortable. He knows what he's doing. You know, right now he has the nod, but we do have another guy, Elijah Walker, that's also a great quarterback, a great football player, who's a transfer from Louisiana Tech that has the ability to be extremely, extremely dominant. So even though Elijah is here and he's a transfer, we are very excited about Jeremy and Elijah. But being the fact that, you know, we weren't able to get any more than 4 days out of spring, it was kind of hard to solidify things. So, you know, the talent is there, the ability is there, the want to is there, and then the players around them are there in order for them to be successful.
Running back, talk about some of those guys that you expect to step up. Hickbottom
was your leading rusher in 2019?
Yeah, we feel really good about our tailbacks. You know, it's kind of a very, very deep and talented room with Keelan Elder, you know, probably spearheading that particular group. Kevin Dominique comes back for his junior year campaign. We just have a number of guys that are really good players there. C.J. Russell is another freshman that is probably one of the most talented guys in the conference. When he touches the ball, he's lightning in a bottle. So he'll be a redshirt freshman this year. So we feel really good about, you know, about our team and about our depth at that position and other positions as well.
Defensively, who are you expecting big things from this year?
We have a lot of really good players returning. Dan Fields, Xavier Lodge, two safeties that are really good players. Damian Cromartie is another safety that's a good player. We have Devin L. Martin, who's a corner, all-conference corner, all-American kid that will be a really good football player. And Sundiata Anderson up front and Wesley Green, two really good players up front that really, really have a chance to be dynamic. Right now we have some guys in place at linebacker. We lost a lot at linebacker, but we have a lot of really good talented players that we're waiting to see, you know, great things from.
And, you know, you had a good recruiting class, brought in, you know, some guys from high school, but also brought in some JUCO guys that can maybe come in and help you right away, maybe more specifically at that wide receiver position.
Yeah, well, we do, you know, and most of our JUCO transfer players are our defensive players, you know, defensive line, linebackers, and maybe one or two safeties. Our offense has pretty much been intact. They've just matured a great deal and really are rolling. Had a really good spring, you know, the first 4 days. And you can tell that they know each other. They gel with each other. They're comfortable in the scheme. And they have a chance to be really, really successful. Now, we did sign a couple of transfer kids up front, which, you know, you're always needing, you know, quality depth at the offensive line position. You can never have enough really good offensive linemen. But we feel really, really good about the group and about everybody that we have.
Special teams, can you talk about that, what that looks like for 2020?
Yeah, you know, we love our return specialists. We have really good players coming back, really good kickers coming back. You know, all those guys have been here with us, so the thing is that we want to work on our consistency to make sure that we are consistent not only in our punting and kicking, but also where we're placing the ball on kickoff coverage. So our entire team, we're excited about. We just want to make sure that we continue to stay healthy and that we handle this virus the correct way so that we can be prepared and be ready to go when the time is here.
Couple of more thoughts for Broderick Fobbs, the head football coach at Grambling in his seventh season, joins us here on the HBCU Football Daily Podcast. I think one of the things we're seeing is an interest, especially when you're talking about what happened with George Floyd, social justice. We're seeing more of an interest from high school student athletes in HBCUs, maybe more specifically, at least lately, you've seen it more on the basketball side. But I look at you, I look at a lot of, we rank these recruiting classes. It's a lot of three-star guys that are starting to really commit to our schools. Hopefully some four-star guys can commit as well. But your thoughts, I mean, how do we, and I know, I mean, I get it, you're up against facilities, especially when you're talking about Power Five conferences and those type of things. But do you foresee maybe a trend there where more of the top athletes, maybe higher three-star kids, four-star kids, et cetera, will come to the likes of Grambling?
Well, you know, of course, you know, you always believe that there is an opportunity for those players to come to your institution. And a lot of times, you know, facilities and things of that nature are what attracts these student athletes to these Power Five programs. But the thing no one seems to address is the cost of attendance, the finances that these kids are getting at these institutions. And that's more of the deciding factor than anything else. These young people are making business decisions. And anytime you're in a situation where there's a $2,000 purse per month or something like that for you, You know, you have to think about that. You have to rethink that. You know, you may want to be at an HBCU. You may want to be at a place, you know, where you feel comfortable. But at the end of the day, these business decisions are being made now. I do think that there are some kids that are still overcoming those odds and coming to our programs, and we look forward to those guys being a part of our program. There's no better place than, you know, than HBCUs and Grambling State University. Just, you know, what you get, you know, for what you put into it, it's just unbelievable. You know, having the opportunity to participate in leadership, to be a part of a storied franchise and an historic program with so many great people, not just on the football field but also off the football field. It's something that, you know, an HBCU gives, and it also brings, not to mention, you know, the comfort of being able to play the game and do things the way that you see fit, you know, on your campus is always a positive when it comes to going to an HBCU.
Last two thoughts. Are you and your staff out really recruiting some of these high star kids? I mean, I know the stars don't, well, you know, they don't mean everything, but they mean something. You know, are you all out recruiting? Do you feel like, you know, we could try for this guy, but the likelihood of him coming to Grambling may not be, although I think you can give that sort of kid an education opposed to maybe not in spending time on a guy that you really believe would come to a Grambling.
Well, you know, we recruit all players. You know, we try to go after the best players that's available, you know, for our particular program. You know, our focus is we sell success. You know, we sell success in the classroom. We sell success as a young man development-wise, and then we also sell success on the football field. And those that are, you know, attracted to that, those are the kids that we want. And that's really what our focus has always been about, you know, people that are driven to want to be successful in those three areas in their lives. And 9 times out of 10, you know, when you get those type of people who want to be successful in those three areas, then you have a gym and you have something that's going to be someone that's going to be extremely successful in their life.
Last thought, you're at your alma mater, Grambling season. You're having a lot of success there. How much fun are you having, and what does it mean to you to be the head coach at your alma mater, Grambling?
Well, you know, like I've said, you know, from the beginning, you know, I grew up in this thing. You know, I was raised, you know, in the Grambling family around, you know, my dad, who was a football player and a coach for Coach Robinson as a graduate assistant, playing for Coach Robinson. This means the world to me. You know, just so many legends that I've looked up to over the years as a little boy are the same people who tell me, hey, you're doing a good job. And that means the world to me. So, you know, Grambling is just a special place. You know, it says a lot about a program anytime. You know, every coach that has been the head coach at Grambling State University has won a conference championship and also won a national championship. That says a lot about the program. It says a lot about the traditions. It says a lot about the place and everybody that has played a major part in the success of the program. So, you know, it's very hard for me to put it in words, but it's truly, truly an honor, you know, to be at Grambling State University and just try to put my feet in the same shoes that Coach Rob had.
So you can listen to that podcast in its entirety on Tuesday. That's going to be on Tuesday, and we're going to resume the HBCU Football Daily Podcast and take a look at the SWAC schools, beginning with Grambling on Tuesday. The MEAC has canceled athletics for the fall season. Boy, what does that mean for the MEAC? They had a press conference. Commissioner Thomas mentioned for 18 straight years they've been able to pay schools out. This will be the 19th year they'll be able to pay schools out. But will they be able to pay schools out in the 2020-2021 season? We certainly will see. My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Kara Lawson, the head women's basketball coach at Duke, for joining us here on the program. Got some great stuff on our website at BoxToRow.com. Don't forget to tell a couple of friends about the program. Follow us on Twitter at BoxToRow,
Also on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. And always remember to support those that support you. From the Press Box to Press Row is presented by DW Communications.
He was born 20 years ago, just a pimp toes. Every day, new clothes. Look at the cut coupon. On 3, got the heat so blunt.